and go like this.
Believe it or not, Billboard magazine is 114 years old. Its Hot 100 chart has been around for half a century. It launched back in 1958 when Danny and the Juniors topped the charts with At the Hop. To mark the anniversary, Billboard magazine compiled an all-time Hot 100 list of the most popular singles in the last 50 years. Jeff Mayfield is Billboard's editorial director, and he's here to tell us more about their picks. Hey, Jeff.
Hello. How are you
doing? So we've been listening to a bit of Chubby Checker's hit from the year 1960, The Twist, and you rated it the all-time hottest single. So why?
Well, basically, there's been a lot of misunderstanding about this chart. The all-time 50th anniversary of the Hot 100 is really just a weekly compilation, or it's a look at the entire chart performance that's happened during these 50 years. And we had to wait earlier eras because since 1991, when we had our hands on better data, big hits can stay on the chart longer. So we graded on the curve. And based on chart performance, Chubby Checker had the most impressive chart performance of all time.
So, look, the Macarena made it into the top five.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of complaints about that.
Beating out Hey Jude by the Beatles. Tell me about the complaints. Because, you know, the Macarena, I remember an ignominious moment doing the Macarena on television back during the 96 election.
Doesn't sound like you're proud of it.
It doesn't sound like I'm proud of it. And I'm not, but I mention it because it was kind of a one-hit wonder. Why?
Yeah, but see, that's the. I'm really glad you asked that because this is a moment ago. This is about chart performance. This is not an editorial list. Unlike when Rolling Stone puts up a list of all-time songs or any other music journal that you see, this is strictly based on how things acted on the Hot 100. And Macarena was on the chart for 60 weeks. It's the longest chart run by any number one song. I spent that year that you danced to it not liking the song, you know, and getting kind of tired of hearing it follow me around. I mean, I go to a ballpark and I couldn't escape the Macarena. So this was not by any means an editorial list. This is a list of the songs that had the best performance. And, you know, 60 weeks on the chart, no other number one record could say it did that.
So what does it say about our taste, and I mean our buying taste as well as our listening taste, to take a look at, you know, kind of what really hit the top of the charts?
Well, you have to remember that there's different chart rules that have been in place throughout the 50 years. We do the charts differently now than we did 5 years ago. We do them differently now than we did them 13 months ago. And certainly they're different than they were before 98. And so there's been different behavior. There were different rules. Up until 1998, you could not appear on this chart unless there was a retail available single. Well, as the market got to the point where there are fewer and fewer hits being released to stores, we had to leave that rule behind. So part of what you see here is just this is what top 40 radio was like at the time. This is what consumers were buying at the time. And, you know, sometimes when you see a song that seems weak to your personal frame of reference, it might be that record was on the chart during a weak time. For instance, in the top 10 of this list is You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone. Now, that record was number one for 10 weeks. By current standards, we've had several number ones that have been on top of the chart longer than that. But for the era that she charted, 1977, being number one for 10 weeks was kind of like being number one for 20 or 30 weeks. So, maybe I have not stopped to study 1977 enough, but it may be that she didn't have a lot of competition, and that's why she was able to stay number one longer than other records that year did.
Can you give me an example of something that's on the list from the past, you know, 5-10 years?
Well, actually, there's three records on the chart that charted this year. Within the top 30, you have Flo Rida, and then there a couple of other songs that were charting this year were Alicia Keys and one by Timbaland with One Republic. So, you know, if you look at the top 10, one thing I'm happy about in terms of grading on the curve, if you look at the top 10, every decade that this chart has touched is represented here. We have one from the 50s, and we also have the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and this decade represented. But yeah, there's ample representation of recent hits here. One from this decade in the top 10 being by Mariah Carey, We Belong Together.
All right. What is changing about the music game with digital distribution? Does it affect how people buy singles and what might be on the top 100 in the next 50 years?
Actually, digital already has impact and very beneficial impact on this chart. One of the dilemmas we had in the late 90s and the early part of this decade was, as I mentioned, there were fewer singles being released to stores. And one of the beauties of the Hot 100 was it's never been one pool of information. It was sales and radio, so you had a more comprehensive look at popularity. And at the beginning, it was jukeboxes too. As of August of last year, we added internet streaming and on-demand music and music video from the internet. So it's always evolving to be a more complete view. But what happened was with the removal of singles from stores, for a few years there, the sales voice on this chart was kind of like the sprig of parsley that you put on a steak. And the rest of the chart was pretty much cooked up by radio information. Thanks to the advent of iTunes and the other digital merchants, there's a very vibrant a la carte song market out there, and it's made a big difference in the kinds of songs that show up on the chart. And we will continue to look for other things. We want to get more of the internet streaming services represented in the chart. We want to look at satellite radio. We want to look at YouTube, ringtones. So we're not going to stay in one corner. We're always going to try to make sure that this chart reflects the different ways that the consumer experiences music.
All right. Very briefly, why do you think Billboard has lasted so long as a magazine?
Hopefully it's because we've done our job right. And I want to clarify something. I'm not the editorial director. I'm the director of the charts department. But one thing that's certainly been a big thing for us is the charts. The biggest traffic draw on Billboard.com every week is Thursday when we refresh our charts. So it's certainly the way that we touch consumers. And certainly as a business publication, we hope that we're serving the needs of people within the music industry and people who also need to have gateway into the music industry.
Well, hey, I wanted to give you a promotion, so that's why we called you editorial director. But
okay.
You are director of the charts department, and that is a big job and a very interesting one. So, Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Mayfield, director of the charts department at Billboard Magazine.